very blessed Palm Sunday to you. For some reason, it just doesn't feel like it should be Palm Sunday. I don't know if I'm I usually associate Palm Sunday with a blizzard or something like that. I don't know. We've got some, other than the wind, we've got some beautiful weather. But you know, very blessed celebration of our Lord's passion. And of course, that's in itself, that's a contradictory term. Celebrating someone's suffering and death. And yet our Lord is really a contradiction in human sense. And we can see that with the gospel, with the titles we hear for our Lord in the two gospels, that he is the King of Kings, but that he is also the Lamb of God. And those seem contradictory. We don't think of a king being someone that is going to be sacrificed as lambs were sacrificed. Usually kings were the ones that were protected from things like that. That they would not be the one sacrificed. Usually, especially when there was human sacrifice, it was never the ruler. It was always a slave or a poor person or an enemy that was sacrificed. And yet in the first gospel, we see our Lord entering into Jerusalem triumphantly as the King of Kings. People are shouting for him, "Hosanna to the Son of David," praising him as this king coming triumphantly. You know, we hear stories of armies that when they would win battles, they would march triumphantly into the city and everybody would cheer. Well, that's what was happening with our Lord. They were cheering that this triumphant king was coming in. And he was descendant of the King of David that had come to set the people free from slavery. Now, of course, the people thought, at least those who were involved in this cheer, that he was coming into Jerusalem to kick the Romans out. He was coming as a military conqueror to kick the Romans out. But then we forward a week, and this king who was coming in triumphant is now being jeered. He's now being mocked. He's now being sacrificed as the Lamb of God. And as I said, in human minds, that's a contrast. That's a contradiction. But not in the will of God. We see our Lord carrying his cross in another procession, just as he did that first week. And the purpose of the first gospel, the purpose of his entering into the city triumphantly, was fulfilled in the second. He came into Jerusalem to be sacrificed. And through the sacrificial death of the King of Kings, we have been set free from sin. By our Lord allowing himself to be sacrificed as the Lamb of God, we have been set free from slavery, the slavery to sin. This passion and death of our Lord is the ultimate sign of his love for us. He loved us so much that he gave his life for us. And he shows us that real love is self-giving. It's self-emptying. We empty ourselves for others. We give of ourselves for others. It's desiring what is best for the other person, for their sake. Not because we want to get something out of it, not because we want to be with them, but for their sake. And this love that our Lord showed us was so strong that, as St. Paul said, he humbled himself and emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, coming in human likeness. He showed us true, emptying, self-giving love. It was a love that was so deep and so strong that he gave his life that we might enter eternal life. So the question for us is, how do we respond to that love? He gave his life for us. He was willing to sacrifice himself for us. How do we respond to that love? How do we return it? It's interesting that during the proclamation of the Passion, whether it is today or again on Good Friday, at the moment of our Lord's death, we are instructed to kneel and pause for a short time, as we did this morning. Now, when we do that, it shouldn't just be because the book tells us to. You know, there's a principle in liturgy. say the black, do the red. So the book in red says, kneel now, and we did it. But that shouldn't be the only reason why we knelt at that moment. And I think the reason why we should kneel at that moment was best shown in the movie, The Passion of the Christ. We see that as our Lord is hanging on the cross, Mary Magdalene and our Lord's mother, the Blessed Mother, are sitting there at the foot of the cross, or standing there at the foot of the cross, and they are so moved by what is going on, they are so moved by grief, that they drop to their knees on the rough gravel. You know, they don't have nice carpeting to kneel on. They drop down to just rough, sharp gravel. They were moved by what our Lord did, and full of grief by what our Lord did. And so when we kneel, it needs to be, as St. Paul tells us, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is why we kneel at that moment. We kneel at amazement at our Lord and what he has done, in gratitude, and yes, in grief that he had to sacrifice himself so that we may overcome sin in our lives, that sin may no longer keep us from the kingdom of heaven. And by the way, there's kind of an extension that we do from what St. Paul says. Now, every time we say the name of our Lord, we don't kneel. But there is a tradition that every time the name of Jesus is mentioned, we bow our heads, just briefly. It doesn't have to be a deep, you know, bow from the waist, just a brief bow every time we mention our Lord's name. That is in reverence to the power behind the name of our Lord. That we show that respect, that honor. But one thing, when we hear the Passion and participate in the Passion, you know, something that's relatively new in the church, this idea of having parts, that it's not just the priest reading the entire Passion, but that all of us have our roles to play. Interestingly, the people are given kind of the roughest positions, shall we say. And I've known people that they almost look forward to shouting out, crucify him, crucify him. They almost look forward to that each year. But that we participate in this Passion. And that when we participate in this Passion, we must not allow it to go without moving us. We must not allow it to enter in our hearts. I remember the first time I saw Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. It was actually in a theater that the Knights of Columbus had rented out for priests and seminarians and religious in the Portland, Oregon area where I was at the time, to go see it. And just being there in that theater and experiencing it and immersing into this story I'd heard so many times, had participated in so many Palm Sundays and Good Fridays. But to experience it, I, like many, were moved to tears by what we saw, especially at that moment that our Lord died. In fact, there's that scene where as he dies, the camera view is from above, and you see this drop. The camera flip, you know, kind of changes, and all of a sudden it's like a raindrop, like the tear. The Passion should move us in that way. The Passion should not be something we do without thinking. Because the message of the Passion of our Lord is very simple. God loves us. He loves us so much that he gave his life that we might be freed from sin. And that he wants us to spend eternity with him. So the question is, how should we respond? We should respond with love and praise, crying out, Hosanna in the highest, so we may do the same with all the saints in heaven.